So our text for this evening's meditation is from Matthew chapter 3, these words, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." That's Matthew 3:15. To brothers and sisters in Christ, the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist, it really can be a challenge for us to understand. And the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist can be a challenge for us to understand because it's really easy for us to conclude that since Jesus is God, Jesus is perfect and holy and sinless, and even as man, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and so as man, Jesus is perfect and holy and sinless. Yes, it's easy for us to conclude that the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist was superfluous, something extra, not needed, something done for our sakes, but not really for the sake of Jesus. Yet at his baptism, the Holy Spirit, in fact, does descend upon Jesus. That is, at his baptism, Jesus as man was gifted with the Holy Spirit. That is, at his baptism, Jesus was given something as man that he didn't have before. Even though as man, Jesus was perfect and holy and sinless. Theologians like to note that Jesus, being the Son of God, was not just the most wonderful of human beings, but being gifted with created gifts that others didn't have, but also then on top of that, he was gifted with the Holy Spirit himself. Still, that seems like way too much. At least it can appear that way. Like when we as children loaded as many toppings as we could on our scoop of ice cream at one of those buffets, where you can put on chocolate syrup, and then butterscotch, and then strawberry sauce, and then M&Ms, and then chocolate chips, and then peanuts, and then whipped cream, and on and on and on. But let's stop here and think about the significance of Jesus, the very Son of God, being gifted with the Holy Spirit. For every one of us, every one of us also are sons of God, daughters of God. That is, every human being is a son, a daughter of God, created by God in his image. Yet sin has done much to muddy the water so that man, while religious, while having the capacity to seek for God, while thinking and feeling and even experiencing the idea that there is something greater out there than himself, man cannot find God, the true, the living, the only God. The God who made the world and everything in it, we read in Acts 17, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. That's Paul's sermon on Mars Hill there in Acts 17. That mankind is indeed the offspring of God can be seen in the wonders created by man. Ever thought about this? In the ancient world, they spoke of the pyramids, which still stump archaeologists today. The great temple of Diana there in Ephesus. The hanging gardens of Babylon. What person yet today, for example, is not impressed by the Colosseum in Rome, completed during the time of the apostles, that is, the first century, being able to seat 80,000 people and built without a single power tool or piece of heavy machinery of any kind. Great Wall of China, even more impressive, stretching across northern China for over 13,000 miles. 13,000. You know, we see the trains rumble through Fridley here, each of 100 or 110 cars carrying a container or two from a modern container ship. Now, that's pretty impressive when those trains go through over here. But the biggest of those container ships, just one, can hold 24,000 containers. 24,000. And still sail across the ocean. We could mention great works of art, so mind-blowing, like the Sistine Chapel ceiling, or for all intents and purposes, Mount Rushmore. Incredible pieces of music like Bach, St. Matthew, Passion, or the works of Brahms, Beethoven, Bruckner, Mahler, Vivaldi, Mozart, Haydn, Mendelssohn, Vaughan Williams. Technology amazes, as does the aerospace industry. The evidence, in short, is all around us. That is true. It is true that we are, as we read in Acts, the offspring of God. And being so, the great minds among us have even attempted to find God in massive constructs of philosophy, and yet they have not been able to do so. Man can't do that. Man must fall short. Man must fail in his attempts to find his Creator, our Father in heaven, without the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's only through the very Son of God, the one who was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and gifted then with the Spirit, that we as the sons and daughters of God become truly the sons and daughters of God. We gain the awareness of our reality, the knowledge of our position, the affirmation of our wonderful place in the universe. That is, we become who we are as Christians by the gift of the Holy Spirit, granted to us as he was to Jesus. And we do so through Jesus. For it's Jesus himself who brings to us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus brings us this gift of the Holy Spirit. For being baptized into Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to us as well, the Spirit of Christ. So in other words, God in his mercy, our loving Heavenly Father, comes looking for us and he finds us and would grant to us his Holy Spirit so that we then recognize who he truly is. This happens through our baptisms, of course, our baptisms at which the Holy Spirit descends upon us from heaven. As we hear, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, what is implied is, you are my beloved Son, you are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. So John 1. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Power to become children of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does, working faith in our hearts. Faith that grasps onto our Lord and Savior Jesus, receiving from him through that faith the forgiveness of sin and life and salvation. Our Lord Jesus was baptized and received the Holy Spirit in his own flesh, that so through his own flesh he could give to us that same Spirit, the power to become the children of God. Yet we already are children of God, you might say. True. But apart from the Holy Spirit, we are like orphans. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we are like orphans. Orphans who look like their parents. Orphans who walk and talk like their parents. Orphans who have the same skills and talents as their parents, but orphans who don't know who their parents are. And not knowing who their parents are, there's no way for those orphans to receive from their parents all that their parents would and could give to them. So mankind is in its entirety before God, apart from the Holy Spirit. Mankind, orphan children of God, who don't know who their Heavenly Father is. Thus God in Christ became one such child, a human being named Jesus, Son of the Heavenly Father, who actually knew who his Father in heaven was. As even when he was 12, he declared to his mother Mary in Jerusalem in the temple there that he had to be in his Father's house. And throughout his public ministry then, as a chief issue would be, as we read in the Gospel of John, that Jesus was in fact the Son of the Father, the Son of the living God, and he knew that he was. And in that the Jews did not know the Father, the living God, they did not know the Son, they did not know Jesus. The Jews too then were just like all the other spiritual orphans in the world, looking for God, but not being able to find him apart from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit given to Jesus according to his human nature when he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill all righteousness by sharing with us that same Holy Spirit through his flesh by our baptism into him. So we read in Romans, "So then, brothers, we're debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." If you didn't receive the Spirit, you didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That means Daddy. In the Holy Spirit, that's what we can say of our Father in heaven, Abba. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God with fellow heirs with Christ. So in this Advent season, let's affirm who we are. Our true identity, only known to us by the Holy Spirit of God, given to us by our Savior Jesus Christ, who himself received that same Spirit to fulfill all righteousness. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing our canticle.